talk a little Duck football, a little Oregon State, a Beantown thought for sure. She is a returning champ, outstanding young sports journalist, KEZI here in town. Online, check out KEZI.com. On Twitter, her handle is at Kate Rogerson TV. But now Kate Rogerson on your radio. KR, always look forward to our talks. How's life been treating you this summer?
You know, just living the dream in Eugene. We've had less rain, so I'm happy out in the sunshine and trying to take in all Oregon has to offer.
You know, as somebody who reps the 617 in Massachusetts, you and I talked at Media Day, and you got to experience something from my home state, the Jersey Shore, Springsteen country, Manasquan. So as a first-timer, you're there, it's summer, the boardwalk. Share the experience. So what did you think?
You know, I had a ton of people ask me from out here, from... because out here in Eugene, a ton of my friends are from, you know, we have Texas, we have Hawaii, we have Minnesota, we have Chicago, we have Atlanta. Everybody wants to know if the Jersey Shore is like what you see on TV. And my answer is yes, except, you know, that was 2010. This is now 2022. But I had a blast at the Jersey Shore, you know, the people watching, the environment, good pizza. And what I miss the most about the East Coast, don't get me wrong, the beaches here in Oregon and the Pacific Northwest are absolutely stunning. But you can't go swimming and tan and enjoy a 95-degree day like you can on the East Coast. So I was just one happy girl in my beach chair, eating a sub, enjoying the waves and the people watching. But I had a blast on the Jersey Shore.
Well, I'll tell you what, you try and pull a Jersey Shore out here and go running into the surf, you're going to be Kate with hypothermia. So you don't have to. You know, I kind of wanted to get to the sad news from your home city, the passing of Bill Russell. If my math is accurate, he retired about 30 years before there was even a Kate. So whether it's your dad, the fact that, you know, your family's a bunch of Celtics fans, what do you know or maybe had passed down about Bill Russell?
Well, Bill Russell is essentially the identity of Boston Celtics basketball, right? So growing up, you know, in Boston, everybody knows the names of Bill Russell, Red Auerbach, Kevin McHale, Larry Bird. You know, those are the legends. Now, meanwhile, obviously, they aren't living. Excuse me, they are not. Some of them aren't living. Some aren't playing in our lifetime. But that's just the identity of Celtics basketball. And I think it's really cool to see how much Bill Russell impacted multiple generations. You know, people from all ages were sharing stories and videos and pictures of his impact in basketball, in everyday life, you know, in civil rights and everything. So losing Bill Russell is really hard because, you know, he was such a huge figure in Boston sports, but overall a huge figure in sports as a whole and its kind of connection to culture and everyday life. But nothing but great stories about Bill Russell and how he played, and just, he was a legend. You know, he was filthy. No one could stop him on the court.
Talking with Kate Rogerson, KEZI, let's get to some Duck football. So early on in practice for this season, and of course, a lot of eyes on the quarterback position, you actually spoke with Ty Thompson, the sophomore. So thoughts on not only his chance to get legit playing time, but he told you there's a particular former quarterback he kind of patterns himself after.
Yeah, Justin Herbert, he said, even though he's a Duck, that isn't the reason why he looks up to him and idolizes him. But Ty Thompson really loves Justin Herbert. And just, he kind of said the way he handled his business. He kind of works in silence, does everything right. He works hard, and not to mention, he's very good at his job. You know, you always see him on SportsCenter or making some sort of crazy catch or crazy play. But Ty really looks up to Justin. And something I thought was interesting about Ty, I just straight up asked him. I said, hey, you could play any position on the field. You know, it's no doubt that he's a talented athlete. Why quarterback? And he said, I want the ball in my hands on every single play. He was like, I have friends, you know, who are receivers, linemen. They play everything. And he's like, how do you go out there and just, like, run around? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, he has such a purpose at quarterback, and he's so comfortable there. And something really interesting going off of that, you know, you mentioned the battle between him and Bo Nix. They're both cheering for each other. They both are working together. Ty said he looks up to Bo so much, but how do you, you know, find that balance between friend and competitor? And at the end of the day, they both want to win the starting job, but they want the best for the team. You know, it's no doubt that Oregon wants to do better than they did last year. They want to do better than a Rose Bowl. They want to win the national championship. Can they do that? We'll find out. But whoever is at quarterback has a really, really large role this season.
I thought, Kate, what you posted about Brady Swinson, the linebacker, was telling, because I'm just getting a vibe from the players, just this love playing for Dan Lanning and this guy and these guys. What did Swinson in particular share about the opportunity to be a part of what's happening here with this program and staff?
Swinson has a really unique journey to here in Eugene because as a kid from Georgia, he was only like a three-star recruit coming out of high school. So he got overlooked by a lot of schools. And, you know, that's the case for tons of recruits. Now, the fact he's from the Atlanta area, from Georgia, and the Ducks are opening up the season against the Georgia Bulldogs, he is so excited. And he went off of that, the excitement, but he's just so excited to be on this team and play. He said he's never been on a team with this much talent. And I think that's telling, number one, to the foundation that Mario Cristobal built here with his recruiting. But number two, kind of how Dan Lanning and this new staff have approached the season. You know, we always see things on Twitter and social media, and the team is having a lot of fun, it looks like. You know, obviously, football is their passion, football is their life. But at the end of the day, all these guys are, you know, 18 to 22 years old. They're just kids. They're just playing a game of football. So I think Swinson's attitude really shows how the whole team feels coming into this season, which is kind of a breath of fresh air, I feel like, for a lot of people, because let's face it, Mario was very regimented. You know, the way that things were, it's strictly business, and I feel like some of the fun was lost from a media perspective and, you know, someone from the outside looking in.
No,
so Swinson, that's a representation of what, you know, is to come. I think that's fantastic for the program.
Yeah, I thought the clip you played, I mean, it's downright joyous. You know, most fault to offense when they think of Oregon football. Now there's a defense-minded head coach, a linebacking core who, if healthy, could be next level. We know about Dorless and the guys up front. So here in 2022, you know, things are going to play out at quarterback and running back. Kate, is it unreasonable to think that it's actually probably going to be the defense that offers stability and maybe the strength of this team?
Well, the fact that Dan Lanning was a defensive coordinator and comes from that defensive background, I think is huge for Oregon. You know the saying, offense sells tickets, defense wins championships. Look at the national title from last year. You know, Georgia dominated. So for defense to be really great for Oregon, I think that's totally possible. And I feel like that's what we're kind of seeing in camp. Now, it's only been 3 or 4 days and the media hasn't seen much. But in the beginning of camp, the beginning of training, it's normal for the defense to be ahead. And when you have Noah Sewell and Justin Flo side by side running the ship, you know, people should be scared, I think, of what Oregon football can achieve. And I think it's fair to say that the defense, this could be their year. I mean, you look at the pass between Kayvon Thibodeau, you had Verone McKinley. So there's kind of this identity and legacy from these past few years that new guys have the opportunity to step up and elevate even higher.
Well, I'll tell you, if I saw those two side by side, I'd be scared, but I'm 5'9 and 61 years old, so, you know, everything's relative. let's go north, Oregon State. We continue chatting with KEZI, Kate Rogerson. Start with that offensive line, who last year was up for that very prestigious Joe Moore Award. I know they lost the stud center in Nathan Eldridge. Their guard, Nusa Keobunum. You were up there last week. With everybody else that's back aside from those two, Kate, pretty secure up there about how good this line can be again?
For sure. I mean, let's face it, the Beavers' worst game last year was essentially the LA Bowl. You know, I think given up to that point, the offensive line had only given up maybe 4 or 5 sacks. They were leading the nation. I think they were second in the nation. And then the LA Bowl came and Chance only got sacked 3 times. So when you look at their season before that, the offensive line has so much leadership and so much depth and experience. But that matters, you know, in college football, especially when you get into Pac-12 play and all these teams have returned so much. I like to think the offensive line at Oregon State has really benefited from all these extra COVID years and eligibility because it's formulated to this point. You know, the offensive line is the most underrated and undervalued position in football, I think, because without an offensive line, You have no run game. Your quarterback isn't protected. You know, the trenches don't get enough credit, and Oregon State has kind of embodied that. A lot of really big personalities in there with Brandon Kipper and Jake Levengood, two guys who are just great people on and off the field, and they're hungry. You know, they walked away from last season really, really upset with how it finished. So if Oregon State's offensive line can perform the same, if not better than last year, I think they're set up for tremendous success.
Couple final thoughts for Kate Rogerson and a general question. It was before your arrival, but Oregon State was a train wreck. A coach had left mid-season. Recruiting was dead in the water, and Coach Smith took over. It's been kind of step by step, get better and better and better. And now you see the Pac-12 national media showing them some love. So what did you get when you were up there as far as kind of the overall feel? It seems like it's about as optimistic and upbeat as it's been in half a decade, maybe more.
Right. Like I mentioned, the LA Bowl finish and how they ended 2021. The Beavers are hungry. You know, they feel like they have a lot to prove, and they feel like in the past few years they've had so many close games and almost, and what if it went this way, what if it went that way. So the Beavers know they are capable of being a competitive and successful program. They just got to put the pen to paper. You know, the X's and O's just have to match up on the sheet. Coach Smith, being an Oregon State alum, I think is so important for that program. I mean, in my opinion, I think any coach who's an alum of a team and then they take over the program is just empowering, because in the field of recruiting, it's like, hey, I've been there. I know what it takes. At the same time, they know the expectations from, you know, the alumni, from the donors, from the higher up. So Coach Smith has really turned around the program, and I think the players have totally bought into what he's doing, because as he enters his fifth season, as I mentioned, there are a lot of guys who started with him, you know, like the offensive coordinators, the defensive coordinators. Meanwhile, Trent Bray just got elevated, but Brian Lindgren, the OC, was like, yeah, there's guys that have been here 5 years with me. So when it comes to the schematics and learning the system and what they're playing, there's been so much fluency that, you know, everyone's starting to buy in. They've found their identity, and this could be the year the Beavers win the Pac-12. Jaden Grant said that's their goal, and anything short of that will be a failure.
Last thought for Kate, and I'm happy you brought up Trent Bray, because he was an outstanding linebacker, played for Mike Riley, then he coached under Riley in Nebraska. He's been here with Jonathan Smith since the beginning, as you mentioned, and he was the interim coordinator last year, now the full-timer. I mean, it feels like he's got his guys fired up, and as you reported, Kate, this guy's never going to lack enthusiasm or energy.
I can't imagine having to play for him, because you probably have to match his energy, if not do more. And I don't know if that's possible. I asked their linebacker, Omar Spates. I'm like, does he ever sit still? He's like, no, he's constantly moving from, you know, the first meeting of the day to at night. If you need something, you know, he is always moving. He is so passionate. His energy is infectious. You know, it's like on the sidelines, we watch these teams, we report on the coaches, and you can tell, you know, the people that you're like, oh, they'd be so fun to play for. He is a player's coach. You know, he wants the bar to be set higher. He wants them to be successful, and, you know, he has the mindset. His dad, Craig, coached for years in FBS across all levels. He said he's obviously been his biggest inspiration in coaching, and he's the guy you can turn on. And something interesting about Trent Bray, although he does have, you know, the linebacker's background, his biggest thing is paying attention to the detail and the detail of preparation. So not only is he never not moving, but he is so precise in what they're doing from the minute they take the field to the minute they go to sleep at night. I think Trent Bray is kind of a breath of fresh air in a way, because, as I mentioned, the Oregon State alum connection. But given this new generation, this new wave of Beaver football, you want someone to match that excitement, and I think he brings that to the table for this group. And I know I say the sky's the limit for the Beavers, and Beaver fans get their hopes up, they get their hopes down, but given how the last couple seasons have gone and those very close games, this could be Oregon State's breakout. You know, they had the bowl game last year, but if things go according to plan, they could find themselves at the top of the Pac-12.
Well, Kate, now you have all the Beaver fans in our listening area. Their hopes are way up there, so you better be careful if they don't achieve. Folks, she's Kate Rogerson, K-E-Z-I Sports, terrific young sports journalist who always enhances our show when she joins us. Follow along on Twitter, use at Kate Rogerson TV. Online, K-E-Z-I.com. Kate, I always appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and obviously, as the season starts rolling along, look forward to talking again.
Thanks, Steve, for having me.
All right, take it easy.